Welcome in to the Blitz. Live on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw, Hard Seltzer Studios. Charlie Collier, Sam Beard here with you for a couple of hours on this Monday morning as we kind of venture into the world of radio post-basketball season.
It's a new day.
It's a weird time for radio. I mean, it's, you know, it's talking Tennessee baseball a lot more now, which is a good thing. Glad we have more time to spend talking about Tennessee baseball. It's also a lot of, I don't know, it's a lot more creativity.
Creativity, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of football hypotheticals, a lot of, I guess, just off-season talk.
We'll get MLB baseball here in a couple days.
Yeah, we'll have the MLB to talk, which we'll have, I guess we'll probably hit it. We'll start getting into the NBA playoffs a little here and there, NHL playoffs a little here and there.
Maybe we can, we've lost our best bet record. Maybe we can keep a best bet record for MLB and just see how bad we are.
That actually, I mean, that would be pretty fun because it is hard to bet on baseball.
Yeah.
Unless you take the time to really like do the research and know your splits and like pitchers and I mean then if you do all that like baseball is probably the easiest sport to bet if with you know if you know what you're doing. Like there are people that make lots of money betting on baseball, but it's very precise.
Yeah.
Like you have to dedicate a lot of time to it in different formulas because you know it's you know who's gonna pitch and you know how he pitches, you know how batters, you know, are against certain pitchers, pitch types, and you can project things pretty decently, but again, you just have to put so much time into the projection side of things.
And a lot of people don't want to do that for a 162 game season.
But it's more power too, I mean, if you do. To understand too.
Yeah, it is. It's a little just a little bit too complex probably for the average gambler, I guess.
Right. But yeah, it's we're in the post Tennessee basketball world of radio now, which again, it's like we hit football season, and from the second we hit football season, it is full go every single day, football, straight into like basketball, just all day, every day, and then you know whenever you suffer that final loss,
just kind of stops.
Just out of the blue, it's just like all right, you know, show's about to get a lot different now, but. Plenty to get into today, including, I mean, there's still college basketball happening, and I don't know if we're in, like, a simulation or what, but this Final Four is weird.
It's extremely weird.
Very weird.
I'm not a huge fan of it, to be honest. I would have liked one more team that was kinda, sorta supposed to be there.
Nope, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
The fact that we are all going to collectively, as a country, watch either FAU or San Diego State compete to win a national championship. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, we were here like 2 weeks ago not giving San Diego State the ability to win a round of 64 game just because their conference couldn't get anywhere. And now they're in the Final Four.
Pretty unique, too. I mean, you look at all four of these teams, like UConn was down at half against Iona. Right? Or like maybe like up one by the end by halftime.
Right. Very close.
I think they were also down at half against like St. Mary's. Now UConn the worst example of everyone because they still won all their games by double digits to get here, but like Miami was lucky to escape Drake in the first round. If Drake wouldn't have missed like 13 of their last 14 shots for Miami to end the game on a 14-1 run.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego State was maybe fortunate a little bit, you know, or at least they had to survive some upset bids from both Charleston and Furman.
Yeah.
FAU probably wouldn't be here if the officials correctly granted Memphis a timeout.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like FAU went
That's actually from very frustrating.
Fortunate to win in the first round because the officials inexplicably called a jump ball instead of a timeout.
To a Final Four in their first ever tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why can't we have nice things like that?
I don't know, man. If anything, this further solidifies the entire point of it all, that, you know, a coach winning or losing in March is not the best way to judge him, because March is absurd.
Yeah, March is just March.
Doesn't make any sense. Like,
no.
The best teams don't win national championships most of the time. You know, it's a sport that's made for series, played in one-off games in weird neutral sites with different basketballs. It's a pretty random event. A lot of similarly talented teams, and most of them are going to lose. And most of them are going to lose earlier than they want to lose. It's just a mess of a tournament, and I love it. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm here for the chaos, but it's not like this tournament is even close to the best way to actually determine who the best team in the country is. I love it, though. I mean, again, I don't want it to change. Don't change. Sign me up for the chaos 11 times out of 10. I don't care that it's not the best way, because it's the most fun way.
Yeah, we're all still going to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about this now on Monday. Oh, this Final Four sucks.
I'm excited for it. I love parody, and this is like my dream.
This is the definition of parody.
Yeah. Like, this is my dream. You have 3 out of your 4 teams have never been to a Final Four.
Yeah.
It's the first time this happened since 1970, when it was St. Bonaventure, like New Mexico and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Did not know the Dolphins have a Final Four, and we don't. That's cool.
I think we could put to bed that, like, college basketball's rigged, because it's definitely not.
Yeah.
You know, they would have had it. They would have had it there another way, like 10 times over by now, if they could have rigged it.
I mean, like, one of our buddies texted us this in a group chat. Tickets to the Final Four are going to be like $20.
Oh, we might. You want to go?
I mean, it's. I think it would be, at this point, if we wanted to go from Knoxville, 8 to 9 times, 10 times more expensive to get a flight in a hotel room than it would be to go to both the Final Four and the national championship.
I think we could buy like lower bowl, pretty nice seats for the cost of our flight down there. I would think so. Do they have Final Four prices out already? That would be like, I'm assuming they'll be pretty cheap.
I mean, again, like they can't be expensive.
There's no like bandwagon fans that are coming, you know. You're either a FAU rider or you don't really care about FAU.
And I feel like UConn doesn't really travel out of the Northeast super well.
Right, especially all the way down to Houston.
I mean, that's probably – there's probably going to be a decent amount there.
Because they're the clear favorite.
San Diego State, like, might have a decent contingent.
Not that far.
I don't think Miami's going to bring a lot of people or FAU. And they're going to be competing for flights in some instances, both in South Florida.
Yeah, Miami and FAU just might have a watch party on the beach somewhere.
I mean, the people that live in FAU's hometown just live there for like 6 months a year.
Yeah. They so probably they don't even know the college any, is like, there.
Yeah, they don't even really have an attachment.
No.
They're there when the kids aren't, for the mm-hmm. most part.
Yeah.
Let me pull up Vivid Seats.
Yeah, can you get prices already or no?
I mean, I doubt like they're as cheap as they're going to get. I imagine they're going to tank throughout the week, but let's see what they're at. All sessions, the cheapest ticket is $230.
I mean, for a Final Four, that's not that bad.
Cheapest ticket Saturday for the Final Four, $119. And again, there's about a bajillion tickets available. I imagine those are going to shrink exponentially.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet. Yeah, there's tickets under $80 for the Final Four by tip off.
Yeah,
National championship probably going to be even worse.
Probably, yeah.
Because it's a Monday night. Not a lot of people are going to go to Energy Stadium on a Monday night to watch
San Diego State or FAU
play a 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah.
And it's not like those fan bases are going to provide a lot either.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, national championship tickets, cheapest right now is $80. We'll keep an eye on it throughout the week.
That's absurd. I think I spent $80 for, like, the ticket to the Tennessee first round games maybe in Indianapolis last
year.
Like
a lot more.
Yeah.
Let's see what they are on Ticketmaster. $68 on Ticketmaster.
Come on. But yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, why? Nobody's going to shell out the money.
And if
for
I lived
that.
In Houston, though, I am just like, I might just go to a national championship game and sit lower bowl for like $110 just to do it.
Just to be able to be. Yeah, I've been to a national championship before.
Sat like 18 rows up.
Which one'd you go to? San Diego State and Miami?
You know, the battle for South Florida and also the nation.
FAU. Yeah, I'm just rooting for the battle of South Florida, I think, by now. FAU Miami.
Yes.
I mean, that's
everyone knows South Florida has the best basketball in the country.
The mecca of college basketball.
We need to take the Rucker and move it south.
There's an ACC team in the Final Four.
Always is, man.
It's such a bad year for the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, for as bad as that conference is, they do have one thing going for them, and then it's that there's always just going to be a random ACC team that makes their way into the Final Four.
Yeah.
Last year, 8-seeded North Carolina. FAU could be the highest seed to, I don't know if it's play for or win a national championship as a 9-seed.
Was UConn a 9 when they won?
7.
7, okay.
Or 8? 8.
It was 7, 8, or 9. I know that.
They weren't a 9. Year is that? Like I know 20, they weren't a 9. It was it was 2012? A 7, I think, because they came from the bottom of the bracket on the bottom left side. Right? They came from the bottom of the bottom left?
Yeah. What year was that national championship?
It was 2015, I think. Shabazz Napier, right?
No.
I'm really bad at
Duke was 2015.
I'm really bad at remembering champions and years.
I think it was 13.
Like I don't really remember seasons by like the year it was sometimes. So I've
more like by players and stuff like
yeah,
that.
I just have a hard time. I just remember that being that's Shabazz Napier's senior year. That was I think it was 2014.
2014. It was in Texas, Arlington Stadium.
Yeah.
Or AT&T Stadium in Arlington.
And they were a 7, right? And they came from the bottom left bracket on the bottom left. And Kentucky was an 8 that beat Wichita State, right?
In this tournament that UConn won was the first time that there had not been a 1-2 or a 3 seed in the Final Four. So we're just set. UConn's just setting all sorts of records whenever there's like a.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nobody's been here before. UConn's right in the mix. Let's bring Kevin Ollie back. I forgot about Kevin Ollie.
Hey, Kevin Ollie got his money.
What is he?
By the way, he sued.
Coaches Overtime Elite. I didn't know that.
He sued and got his money back from his firing.
Really?
Yeah, he won his suit.
Good for him.
Man, it does. It seems weird though. It's a weird tournament. We'll talk about it more later. You have a good weekend. Get anything fun?
Yeah, I had a decent weekend. Played a little golf.
Yeah, how'd you shoot him?
All right.
Where'd you play at?
I played at Wild Laurel.
Oh, I love.
First time I'd played there.
Really?
Yeah.
I could have sworn I'd taken you there at some point.
No. Yeah.
In Townsend?
Yeah.
In the mountains? You see any bears?
Didn't see any bears. Saw some turkeys.
All kinds of wildlife on that course.
Yeah. No, that was the first time I played it. Wasn't in, like, the best shape right now.
It's never in great shape.
Okay.
But it's always cheap and interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it was $35. It's out in the mountains. It's a beautiful view.
Like, beautiful view.
Great clubhouse.
Yeah. Elite clubhouse.
Yeah.
And, again, like, I think the layout of the holes.
Yeah, it was a fun course to play.
Super fun. Very unique.
Yeah. Like, that would be a premier spot to play if it was in better condition.
Which I've seen
it
in,
get
in
better condition in, like, this, in the summer and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've seen it in pretty good condition at times.
Yeah. I went out there with my roommate, and we were like, we'll come back out here maybe, like, late April or something like that and see if it changes a little
when
bit.
When you talk about the courses north of town, that's my second favorite one to play.
Okay.
Outside of the greens at Deerfield.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of similar to it. Like, not a super long course, but it was...
The greens at Deerfield is just the most absurd golf course I've ever played.
Yeah, that... It felt like someone made it on, like, the PGA Tour game.
Yeah.
They just created the course on a video.
All right, we're going to have them hit directly up a hill, land it at the top, and then they'll have a 100-yard shot that's going to feel about 40 because of this elevation down.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just have them hit a 60 as high as possible and then just let it drop straight from the sky into our green. Not onto.
Into it. Any course with a bunch of elevation change is a lot of fun to play, and that one was a good time.
Or, like,
time.
There's the one that's just like, yeah, it might be a 410-yard par 4, but you can drive it. Wait, excuse me?
Yeah.
You can drive 410? Well, yeah, you're going to hit from, like, a mile up the hill, too. Oh, okay, cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, I didn't play amazing, but it was still a good time.
There used to be a course, too, actually. That was like both of those. I thought that it used to be on my favorite course. It was like Royal Oaks is what it was called.
Hmm.
And
is it like right there?
I played it all the time my freshman year. It's a lot closer, but I think it was maybe south. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I played it all the time my freshman year. And then I came back to school sophomore year after, you know, summer at home freshman year, and it was gone.
Huh.
I never knew what happened to it. Seemed like it was a really good golf course. So if anyone knows what happened to that course, by the way, I would love to know. Because that was I absolutely loved playing that course. It was good, too. It was in great shape. It was beautiful. It was
Royal
fun.
Oaks?
It was Royal Oaks, yeah.
Huh.
I think it was like Royal Oaks Country Club, even though it just wasn't a country club. They even had like some really cool community events, too. They would have night golf tournaments.
Yeah, permanently closed.
I don't know what happened. It was just gone. I didn't even realize that they were anywhere close to closing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm sore this morning, Sam.
Yeah, why are you sore?
We had opening day yesterday.
Yeah.
Or spring training, I guess we kind of called it.
For your
Sundays out on the lake.
Wiffle ball league?
Yeah, just playing wiffle ball. We get really into our wiffle ball. It's a real home run or singles type league, too.
Oh, okay.
It's a short field.
Yeah.
And people are throwing hard.
Okay. So you don't got enough time to get there to beat out a play at first.
You're not getting doubles. Like,
no.
You're either hitting it in play and getting to first or hitting a home run.
Sounds about right for, like, backyard wiffle ball.
A lot of strikeouts.
Yeah. Hey, long off season.
Well, people are, like, humming balls in there and throwing different types of off-speed pitches. It's crazy how good a couple of these guys are at throwing wiffle balls. But
is it like the blitz balls? You ever seen those?
We have a couple weird balls too, and they go a lot further if you square them up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a risk. Like, you can, all right, you know, I might sneak in a blitz ball, see if I can catch them off guard, but if they touch it,
they can nuke it.
It's going
it, yeah,
to the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
Was
Andy there?
He was.
How is Andy playing?
He's good, dude. He's really good at wiffle ball.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that just his thing?
I don't know. I mean, he's a pretty good athlete. We played a lot of basketball, too. But we played 3 games of wiffle ball and, like, 10 games of basketball and swam and ate. We're all very sore.
Beautiful.
Like we were texting this morning, sore people.
Yeah.
You just start to get older, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it happens easier. Maybe it's just some of those motions, like trying to throw a wiffle ball as hard as you can for the first time in 6 months, get you. But I'm in, like, embarrassingly sore in my shoulder this morning.
That's how it happens sometimes, though.
Yeah. But that was a good time. It was a good day. Next weekend, we called yesterday like spring training. Next weekend's like opening day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pissed. My brother's wedding showers is Saturday. And I've kind of, like, started to get known in my family as the guy that's not really showing up to a lot of things just because it's in Franklin all the time. And, like,
yeah, hard to get there.
I've been working. I've just, like, missed some things. But this one's really important. I can't miss it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't miss this one.
And since, like, I've been told, like, you're going to be at this one. And I've told people, like, yes, I will not miss this no matter what. Since that's come up, like, everything has come up. The Eagles announced a concert that day that I really wanted to go to. Like, it was one friend's, like, birthday and something was going on. I had to turn that down. And then I found out that this weekend, or this upcoming weekend, yeah, it's going to be opening day of Wiffle Ball. And it's one of my, like, good friend's birthdays. So we're having opening day Saturday, and, like, six or seven people from college are coming back to town for opening day and for his birthday. And just all day, just party out at the lake playing wiffle ball. It's like, man.
Y'all should have done opening day spring training last weekend.
Well, I mean, it was also lining yesterday. Up with his birthday.
Okay.
Because his birthday is this weekend, too.
Yeah.
It's a real shame. What a selfish move by my brother to have a wedding shower thrown for him on a day that I didn't want him to.
Or just a selfish move by your friend to be born that day.
Yeah, either or, really. It could go either way. Selfish by the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah.
To show up on April Fool's Day.
Are the Eagles playing in Knoxville?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I really wanted to go.
When is that? Saturday?
I think so, yeah, next Saturday, April 1st.
I might have to go to that. I
like
the Eagles.
Last week of March, didn't even realize it. Huh.
It's my birthday this week, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
In like 4 days.
All right.
Friday.
Friday?
Yeah.
That's when his birthday is, too.
Let's go.
It's a good day.
It is a good day. It's a good birthday day.
Is that the last day of March, too?
Yeah.
You were just that close.
I was
to getting into a better month.
I was like hours away from being an April Fool's baby. It would have been a lot more fun.
One of my other like best friends is an April Fool's baby.
I feel like that's just a fun little, I don't know. It's your birthday, April Fool's, you know. It's kind of like a stupid joke, but
it used to be my cat's birthday too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, you two of my other best friends and my cat just
Rocco or like
I don't know,
old
like
cat.
An old cat.
Okay, I was like, did Rocco change his birthday or what?
I don't really know when he was born.
Yeah. I think you should spin a wheel, put 365 days of the year on a wheel and spin it for his birthday.
He was 8 months to a year in November when I found him. So.
I think just put everything on
it. Honestly, his birthday might be this week. I don't know. We'll call it a day. We'll not call it a day, but we'll call it a opening segment and get to break, man. It's 10:25. You got to hustle out of here. For the one on me, to the one on stone. Starting to get really excited for the MLB.
Yeah.
Been playing a lot of MLB The Show over the weekend.
Have you? Did you get the new show?
Yeah. Yeah, the new one.
Anything different?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good game for sure. They've revamped some of the things that they have in franchise mode. I mean, it was already such a well-made game. Like, at this point, it's not like it's similar to Madden in the sense that, like, you're not getting a super different game every year, but it's dissimilar in the sense that, like, you're getting the same cheap, like, thrown-together product that's made simply to buy Madden Ultimate Team cards in Madden and prey on, like, teens and tweens to get their parents' money. Here, pay $80 for a video game so you can pay another $100 to have good players in this one mode that we don't care about and we're going to neglect everything else. Like, that's Madden. I think MLB The Show is just like, we have made a superior sports video game and we will keep tweaking it to make it even better, but it's not going to be substantially different because it's already just...
really good.
Really, really good. Like, at the top of its game.
Yeah, I love the show. I don't play a whole lot of, like... I mainly just really like Road to the Show. I don't really get involved in a whole lot of, like, the Diamond Dynasty stuff. And
I've been playing some Diamond Dynasty. I get really into franchise. Like, I make sure that every minor league...
I'll do franchise mode, too.
Like,
yeah.
I make sure... They've done a really good job now lately of, like, getting the minor leaguers in there.
Yeah.
But I make sure, like, every one of the Nationals' minor leaguers is correct. And then... I'm going to just completely rebuild them, and that'll really satisfy me.
That's a good sound.
Guess I accidentally turned my sound on. I got a text.
That's your text tone? That's not even your call?
Yeah.
Really?
I also don't ever have my volume on. Maybe also Rocky Top. I don't know. Do you have your phone volume on throughout the day sometimes?
Never.
I can't tell you the last time I've intentionally had my phone volume on. Like to get verbal notifications.
Like a ding for a text and like
stuff like that, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had it on.
I don't think I've had it intentionally on since I was like 14 years old.
Yeah. I think like when I got a phone it was probably on and then probably took me a week or two. And I think it's been off ever since. It's pretty rare that I hear like I probably haven't heard a text tone out of my phone like the ding. I probably haven't heard that in
Yeah, well,
I know guess, all of college.
I guess I made my text tone Rocky Top at some point a long time ago, and it just still is.
That's nice. I mean, my phone call tone is the Masters theme song.
My text, I have a custom vibration.
Yeah, one is really annoying. You have a very custom vibration.
I have a custom vibration for all text, and it really annoys people because people think I'm getting calls all the time.
Well, it just rattles the table like an earthquake. It's definitely pretty annoying.
Yeah, I actually like when I share rooms with people or like sleep in a in a room next to somebody with a thin wall. Sometimes I have to turn the vibrations off at night because it just buzzes so much. But yeah, I have my custom vibration is like zun 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 zun. It's like Rocky Top.
Yeah. It's hard to do vibrational Rocky Top, though.
Yeah, but I did it.
Okay.
I perfected it.
Yeah?
Yeah. So every time I get a text, my phone just vibrates Rocky Top. It's just kind of absurd now that I say it out loud. But,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, pretty pumped for the MLB season. I've been playing the show. I've been watching spring training. Been watching a lot of spring training.
I've been watching a little bit of it, yeah. Not a ton.
I thought I was going to hate the rule changes. Really like them.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
Really like them.
They're not too bad.
The shift, I don't know. I was really anti-banning the shift because I think like creativity should be rewarded, and I think you know it was part of the game. But I've kind of come around on you know the partial ban of the shift. Like you can move guys over, but you have to have them in somewhat of a legal position now, in somewhat of a normal position. I thought I really didn't like that. Like I thought that they were doing too much to change the game. I thought that they were appealing to non-baseball fans. But I've heard some pretty good arguments now. I mean, it's just this with analytics and like with how deep you can dive into like if I throw a guy this pitch in this spot, he's likely to hit it in this area. Like shifts got impossible to beat.
Yeah.
With how good pitchers are, you know, it's easy for us to sit there on the couch. We'll just beat the shift and make them get out of it. Well, A, there are plenty of guys that, you know, like Juan Soto got shifted on, for example, all the time. I think a team would let Juan Soto hit 1,000 if it was nothing but butt singles.
Yeah,
if he just bunted down the third baseline and beat the shift every single time, I think every team in the MLB would put their right hand up and go, yes, we all agree to let Juan Soto hit 1,000 this year and hit nothing but bunt singles because, you know, it's you'd rather give up four of those than have him have that day where he has, you know, two or three extra base hits, has a home run, has four RBI. You know, the same, I think, with the shift, too, like with how talented pitchers are. Oh, yeah, man, like, why don't you just work harder and beat the shift? Go the other way. All right, yeah, you tell Joey Gallo to go the other way with a fastball that's 98 miles an hour running in on his hands. Like, pitchers have gotten too good to where if they don't want you to go the other way, like, they can keep you from going opposite field 9.5 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So I've kind of become okay with the shift rules.
I'm good with the shift rules, too. I was never... I do like for the there are a small portion I guess of baseball fans that are the true traditionalists, you know, that love the shift and everything, and they didn't like these new rules that were coming into place and stuff like that. But then you know, I think a little bit more when you think about it. At the end of the day, a lot of people that are going to baseball games are there to see your most marketable players and stuff like that. And when you've got, you know, someone putting the shift on to Juan Soto and he's hitting into the shift two times a game or something like that, and you're not seeing your favorite player get a hit or something like that that could have easily been a hit, it's a little frustrating, I guess. So I'm feeling all right with the shift rules.
And like
I like the pace of play, too.
I'm a baseball traditionalist. Hate change.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in football, you know, you can get creative with your formations, but there are some limitations to what you can do in terms of who's on the ball and who's off the ball and you know, who's eligible and who's not. Like, there's certain rules. Just like with sports, too. I mean, the pitch clock, I mean, I think every other sport has some sort of pace. You know, they don't let you just take forever. You know, I think it's going to be something that needs to have continued tweaks, and we've already seen the first rendition of some of those tweaks. Pitchers that were, you know, batting or on deck, they now have more time to warm up. Like in colder games, colder environments, or, you know, areas when the bullpen's further away from the mound, like pitchers get longer to warm up. You know, catchers, if they were on base, on deck, batting, like they get longer to come out. Just in general, hitters that were out on the base paths or, you know, or were out like in further away in right field or something and due up next, like they get a little bit more time now to get in the box and address the pitcher. You know, I think they've done some common sense things, and I think that's where the biggest complaints are coming in terms of pitch clock. It's when common sense is being ignored. But I've been a fan of the pitch clock, too. You know, I've found myself watching some non-national spring training games just because I can sit down and I can watch three innings in 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, I mean, I think that's definitely what they were looking for.
I like that there's more of a pace.
Yeah.
So overall, I give these rule changes a thumbs up, even though I really didn't expect to. But, yeah, man, pumped for the MLB season. You know, I've been fantasy drafting, playing MLB The Show, watching spring training. Like, I'm ready for Thursday.
And it's all going to come crashing down.
I got my shift covered Thursday. Or actually, no, I didn't have to. I was going to, but turns out it was must call anyway. But I wanted to just for opening day Thursday. Just so
like
pumped.
The entire day? Because, I mean, like, the Nats play it right after the show. Yeah. You just want to work. You're working that night and you wanted to watch some games?
I was going to. Turns out I don't have to work that night anyway.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's my 1 week off. Like, well, there's a rotation. Six on, one off, and then the one off goes back to one, and each week it moves. But
nice.
I thought I was going to need to get it covered just because Thursday might be my only chance to watch my favorite team play as a team that's not below 500.
Yeah, it's a good chance to get to be.
I mean, legitimately,
have a perfect winning percentage.
Is frustrating or as sad as that might be, like Thursday legitimately might be my only chance. Again, to watch the Washington Nationals play a baseball game where they're not under 500. Because we started the season with the Braves and then the Rays.
Hey, you're 500 right now.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It'll be my only chance to watch us.
No, I'm saying like spring training, you're 500 right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
spring training.
You're not losing record yet in spring training.
Spring training's actually been somewhat interesting. I mean, I'm scaring myself because I'm getting kind of optimistic about a couple guys.
Yeah?
Patrick Corbin has looked not terrible.
Okay.
Just kind of mediocre. Victor Robles all of a sudden is like not striking out and is hitting like 350 and putting together really good at-bats. And Josiah Gray has a sub-1 ERA and hasn't been walking people or giving up home runs. I'm like cautiously optimistic about those three.
Dang.
Yeah. Don't let me get cautiously optimistic or you guys are done for. You're screwed.
I think Matt Olson's going to have two homers against the Nats.
Max Fried versus Patrick Corbin. Least balanced opening day starting pitcher matchup in the MLB. You just wait. All right. Dominic Smith. You kidding me? That guy's a superstar. Joey Meneses. You're in trouble. We'll go full MLB preview at some point this week, too. Probably Wednesday.
Okay.
We'll just go full on predictions, previews, hot takes, awards, breakout seasons, all of it. The whole nine yards on probably Wednesday, maybe on Thursday for opening day, one of the two. But
you could separate it by league.
We could. It's right around the corner, though. It really is. It's right there. We'll catch a break. We'll dive back into basketball on the other side. All right, back here on the Blitz. So the Final Four is set, but how do we get there? Some pretty crazy basketball. Some very crazy basketball. I mean, it started with the Elite Eight after we got out of here Friday. San Diego State taking down Alabama. You know, Miami just rolling all over Houston.
All over.
And then, you know, Texas took care of business. Creighton took care of business. First of all, just Alabama going down on a Friday night, had the best player in the country, you know, had a really good basketball team, and they don't even make an Elite Eight. Yeah, I wonder if the pressure is starting to intensify on Alabama basketball a little bit.
In what way?
In the sense that, like, they haven't made an Elite Eight yet. You know, it's not quite the same pressure that I think has been on Tennessee now for a couple of years, but I mean, I think it's kind of mounting.
A little bit, yeah.
Had some good teams, and
I mean, he's done well at Alabama.
Done really well.
He's still only been there since 2019, though.
Right. That's why I'm saying it's like it's starting to mount a little bit, though. I think.
Yeah, I guess.
Because you just had, I mean, you've had Coach of the Year years, and you've had some really good basketball teams, and now you had like the best player in the country too, and all the drama that you put this team through, all of the slip-ups in the press conferences and the way you worded things. I don't know. I think to not get through, it's got to start to get a little bit frustrating. I think it just...
This was definitely your year to make one run.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year, you know, you lost as a 6th seed in the first round by 14. You know, you lost to an 11 seed in 2021. Granted, that 11 seed made a Final Four, but still, you know, tough loss. And then here in the Sweet 16 again, like coming up short. So you've been a 2 seed, a 6 seed, and a 1 seed, and still, you know, you've peaked in the Sweet 16. And you've been upset all 3 years. Twice by a double-digit seed. Like, I don't think there's any kind of real pressure, but I think, you know, you're reaching that territory for Alabama, which... I don't know. Everyone loves this rim and three offense, and, you know, I think it's a good offense. But I don't think Alabama's shown the ability to do a lot else. If they're not making threes, like, they're not winning games. You know, they don't have the ability oftentimes, it looks like, for when that offense isn't working to be like, all right, we can adjust. Like, we can counter. You know, here's what we can move to. They don't really seem to have a plan B. Which, granted, plan A works really well a lot of the time, but when plan A is shoot a really high volume of threes and you know, drive hard downhill to the rim, that's such a volatile style of basketball that when you get into these tournament settings, you know, it's one thing to do it in the regular season, but when you get to these tournament settings and you have to win 6 straight games by shooting the three at an above-average clip, or at least an average clip, all in neutral sites, you know, neutral buildings with different basketballs and like tournament one-off settings, you know, I think it's going to be tough for that style of basketball to win a national championship.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think you're completely right there where you are, you know, you're just taking such a high volume of shots where you have to win so many games in a row that becomes harder to do. I was very surprised that Alabama still took 27 threes in that game. Nothing was falling, and they just kept throwing it up there. You know, I guess you got to try and scratch and claw your way back into a game at some point, but you've got a talented enough team where you don't have to live and die by the three. And that was something that I thought was very surprising, that they just kind of kept on hammering home 3 of 27 shot 11%. I mean, they didn't shoot much better just from the field anyways, but I thought that was very surprising that they just kept pulling the three and nothing was working, and they just kept going back and back to it.
And, you know, they didn't really shoot the three very well against Maryland either. But, no. You know, Maryland turned it over 13 times and didn't really rebound and just didn't play a very good game. So, you know, they even got away with it once, and you can probably get away with it once in a tournament, in the earlier rounds at least. But, you know, if you're going to keep shooting threes, if you're going to take 27 threes, you need to make more than three of them.
Yeah.
Alabama failed to do that. You know, you look at the games that Alabama's lost, and it's when that three starts to fail them a little bit. But Alabama going down, then Houston going down. I mean, the fact that we didn't even get any one seeds in the Elite Eight, again, just speaks to how absurd this season was. Houston, I don't know what they're feeling right now. Probably pretty frustrated, obviously. But, I mean, this team was amazing all year long. Three really good players, and they got outplayed, and Miami did it playing their own game. You know, Miami was the team that out-defended Houston. Miami was the team that out-physicaled Houston. Miami was the team that, you know, nearly out-rebounded Houston. Miami was the tougher team in that game. You know, Miami was the tougher team against Indiana. Miami was a tougher team yesterday against Texas, and
they've just strung together some unbelievable basketball games together, just playing a great team basketball.
Yeah, it helps that, you know, against Houston, they also shot 11 of 25 from beyond the arc and you know, 85% from the free throw line. But, you know, I think this is kind of something we talked about with Houston. I mean, with Miami, we knew that with Isaiah Wong and with Nigel Pack and with, you know, Norchad Omier, like some of these guys, they were scoring all year long. They were really a great offense all year long, but, you know, it was their defense that was lacking. But we knew how talented and athletic these players were. You know, I think it was something we brought up on the show several times. It was like, man, when they get to the tournament, if that offense continues to perform at a high level, kind of like how NBA teams do once they get to the playoffs. You know, you start to lock in on defense a little bit more. Each possession, you know, the importance is heightened. You get a little bit more physical tournament basketball, postseason basketball. You know, it's kind of a different sport, and Miami adapted to it.
Yeah, we said it on Friday. I think I might have said it in the best bet. I think that Miami money line's a decent play and definitely lay the points. It was way too big of a spread. Yeah, and we just said that they just have such a unique style of play with their guards. Omier played great against Texas yesterday. They just play such a unique style, and they've really banded together and played some solid defense here once you've gotten to the tournament. And, you know, that's what we said. They have been such a force on the offensive end all year that if they can just string together a couple good defensive performances, play some tough basketball, get in there and play gritty, they can make a run.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of credit to that Miami program too. A
ton of credit.
You know, they made a run last year, and they realized that they just needed a little bit more. And, you know, they had the proper NIL backing. Shout out to, what is it, whatever, that Direct Smile Club or something
Ruiz?
Like that. Smiles Direct.
I don't know, yeah. It's that Ruiz dude, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he owns, like, Smiles Direct. But he was just able to, you know, give people way too much money. Money that means that you can't turn down Miami. And... oh, my bad. Not Smile. Life Wallet. That's what it was. It's the guy that owns Life Wallet.
Okay. Where'd you get Smiles Direct?
I don't know. Smiles Direct Club. That's not even close to Life Wallet.
Who knows? I don't think so.
That's not even like a business I think most people think about much either.
Definitely doesn't pop them up in my mind.
Why was Smile Direct Club in my... I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Smile Direct Club... yeah, he went out and, you know, he paid the price, got Nigel Pack, and added kind of that extra element to this team that they needed. And, you know, Nigel Pack gives them 26 to get to an Elite Eight game. And then, you know, Omier again, a great game yesterday. Everyone played well yesterday to come back against Texas. But it is, you know, this tournament may not have delivered on the front of getting you those top-tier teams or some of those blue-blood teams or some of those big-brand teams. That upsets some people, not me. I couldn't care less, but I think this tournament's absolutely delivered in terms of great storylines and great games.
100%. No, 100%. I think there have been more storylines and great games in this tournament than years past. It's just that people enjoy having storylines and great games along with seeing a one or two seed in the final four, and it like feels normal.
To me, I don't care about that. Like,
I don't think so either.
I sign up for what we've gotten this year 1,000 times out of 1,000.
And it's what we kind of, you know, I feel like we kind of expected it a little bit when we came here on, you know, before the tournament started. We were like, there's not really a great team in this field. You know, everyone's beatable. Everyone can have a bad day and get upset in any round. And it's really shown true in how this tournament has played out. You've had high seeds get upset very early. You've had some Cinderellas, you know, go a lot further than they normally do in the tournament. And I think it's a good thing. I think that change is fresh, and I think you need that every couple years.
Man. Foul call in the end of Creighton, San Diego State.
Tough.
Thoughts?
Can I just go ahead and say my ugly?
All right, we'll save it for hour two then.
Okay.
Hour one done. We'll talk more college basketball this week. Maybe today, maybe not today, but more this week for sure. But hour one done. Hour two, it's on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.